Do with me, turn with me to Hebrew 4 while we're talking here. But testimony is powerful in itself because that it sets an atmosphere. And as Cody was saying, and then as Carl was sharing with me, it sets an expectation. Because when there's an expectation in the atmosphere, then there can be a fulfillment that comes out of heaven. And that's what we need to look for and have as we walk in. There's been actually several times now. Today is not the first time that Carl came in here and got healed just in the service. There was another time with your knee or with your back. He couldn't even walk. Yeah. And he literally was crawling, coming down that aisle, and all of a sudden he could stand up, and he was fine ever since. That's amazing. So let's give God the glory. Hallelujah. So, because God has a reason for this, and the reason that I was looking for several testimonies to be shared is because what we're fixing to talk about is going to be the testimonies, because the power of the testimony. And an incredible thing with Apollonia was mentioned, those who weren't in first service, I'll just give a brief synopsis. He's a manager there at his work. He has a manager above him, but he had to go and give an instruction to one of his guys. When he gave the instruction to one of his guys, he got a firestorm. And the guy came back at him and this was just making a big scene and making a scene such that most people would have reacted to that scene. Now, he's fasting, and he's fasting for change, okay? So I think you're going to understand in a second that he's receiving change. But I can tell you from my own fasting, when I'm fasting, my trigger is a little less than it might be otherwise. So, but he was said, he just remembered, he was sitting there, and he was just looking at this guy on the forklift, and he was just kind of shaking his head and thinking, why haven't I yanked you off the forklift already? And see, that's because that's our natural, that's the flesh. But he's thinking, I probably should have already done that. But he's recognizing there's something new in my spirit. Because I'm not giving out, I'm not acting out of the old man, I'm acting out of the new man. And the new man says, we don't need to do that, we don't need to respond that way anymore. I'm going to just take him and I'm going to begin to pray for him and lift him up and let God deal with it. And so he basically didn't respond to the guy. He was supposed to have a meeting with him still over this thing. And so he went to his manager and the operational manager. And as he spoke to the operational manager was kind of asking him, why didn't you respond? And he said, there's something in me that's different now. He said, that was me, but that's not me. He gave the testimony about it even at that moment. But see, the thing was is that he was already forgiving him. But at the same time, while he was forgiving him, it was still eating at him. He could feel it. It still wasn't settled. Even though he was making a choice, it still wasn't settled. And so then he began to press in with the Lord. As he began to press in with the Lord showed him on the second day. I say on the second day. In other words, it didn't just happen right up front. It wasn't 15 minutes and we're done. But on the second day, he kept pressing in. He said, God, I don't want to live under this. I don't want to let this thing steal my sleep. I don't want to let it affect my attitude. I want to be able to love him like I'm supposed to be able to love him. And on the second day, God said, this is pride. This is pride rising up within you. If you'll just let that spirit of pride, just let it go. Begin to deal with the spirit of pride. He said, all that will go away. And he said he began to deal with the spirit of pride. And then, you know, in a few minutes, all of it went away. And he got totally free from it. And he was able to walk in the next morning. And he just walked up to the guy and said, hey, how you doing? It's an awesome day, isn't it? There's freedom when we apply what God has given us. When we step into the spirit, in the life of the spirit that God has given us. There's a freedom from those things that have tried to derail us. If you're like me, I mean, I understand. You know, I was telling Wednesday night about kicking somebody's taillights out because they blocked my parking space. So, you know, you have these reactions when you let the old man, that was before I was saved, guys. You have these reactions that the old man wants to do. I want to make sure to clarify that. I'm going to set a stage for that. Yeah. Hallelujah. So, okay, Hebrews 4. Oh. Verse 1, therefore, let us fear lest, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any of you seem to come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit him, because it was not united by faith. It was not united by faith. See, this is the thing that, this is the foundation of what I want to speak about today. I want to take something that's very, very familiar to you. But I want to speak about taking that word and mixing it with faith. So Lord Jesus, just as we speak today, let there just be a mixture of faith with the word. A mixing of the faith and the word, so that the word comes in and has its proper work in each and every heart. Because without faith, it's just another word. It's just another something's being spoken. But that's the power of the testimony. That's the power of the word. It sets a stage for expectation. And when there's a stage for expectation, it changes things. It gives God a place to work in our lives. Hallelujah. So now let's go to Mark 6. I have things that I want to speak about, but also know that the Lord always is free to go as he wants to go. How many have ever heard about the multiplication of the bread? And we have teachings about the multiplication of the bread. I'm not here to reteach those teachings this morning. I want to give you an additional perspective. I want to increase our faith. I want to take us to a place beyond even where we've been. Because, see, we've heard this teaching, but we've not understood. How many have ever been part of a ministry? I'll say it this way, where we saw the miracle of the multiplication of the loaves, and we were being a part of a ministry where we needed the multiplication of the loaves, and we stood for it, and sometimes we actually even see it. You know, we can see a miracle and not understand what the miracle was there for. That's what I want us to understand, what the miracle was here for. It wasn't just so we could go out and as we're ministering on the street, we can keep dragging some more stuff out of that pot of beans that was empty an hour ago. That's a wonderful thing. And it has happened. But at the same time, there's a reason for the miracle. Do I got your attention? Okay. All right. So we see here verse 33, and the people saw them going, recognized them. They ran together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them. And when he went ashore, he saw a great multitude, verse 34, and felt compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When it was already quite late, his disciples came up to him and began saying, the place is desolate, it's already quite late. And send them away that they may go into the countryside and the villages and buy themselves something to eat. They answered and said, you give them something to eat. And we see that they began to give 200, they began to question about, well, how could we possibly do this? But Jesus had answered them and said, we're just going to do this, and now we're going to sit them down, and we're going to begin to lift this up and bless it in heaven with an expectation. We're going to bless it in heaven with an expectation. And so verse 39, he commanded them all to recline by groups on the green grass, and they reclined in companies of hundreds and fifties. And he took the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food and broke the loaves, and he kept giving them to the disciples to set before them. He divided up the two fish among them all, and they ate and were satisfied. They ate and were satisfied. That's a little different than I got enough to keep me from starving to death. They ate and they were satisfied. They became full, and yet, even after they became full, they picked up more baskets of scraps than they had to start with. But all became full. But see, he's releasing this miracle. There's something that's happening here. But see, we also can tell that not every effect of it was received. Because we see down in, as we go down this thing, in verse 50, or verse 47, it says, it was evening and the boat was in the midst of the sea. See, now this is at that evening. They're going to go across. He sent them in the boat to go across. And as he sent them to go across, he saw them from above on the mountain where he was praying. And then he walked out on the water and caught up with them because they were straining at the oars and not getting to the other side because the wind was contrary. The wind was against them. And as the wind was against them, he walked by and he was pretending or at least acting like he was just going to go right on by. And they began to fear him, thinking it was a ghost. Then he calmed them. Then something interesting happens. As he gets into the boat, and it was immediately to the other side, and the wind stopped, and they were greatly astonished. And it says here, for they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. They had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves. That's verse 52. So what I'm looking was that caught my attention. What was it they were supposed to do? But see, what he was beginning to show them was that he was outside of the laws of nature. And so therefore, anything that he would do, they could begin to have an expectation that walking on the water was also outside of the laws of nature. And he wanted them to understand that if I can do one miracle, I can do any miracle. I want you to understand that I am already here and I am your provision, just as I was the provision for these 5,000 people who didn't have to do anything to earn it. They were just there. And in the same way, my walking on the water is no more, no less another miracle. It's just because I live and exist outside of this natural realm and I have control over those things. Because why? Because I've come from heaven to release something to you. They needed to see and understand. See, a lot of times we can see the acts of God. What did it say? It said, to Moses, he showed him his ways, but to the people, he showed him his acts. He showed them his acts because why? They were supposed to believe as a result of seeing the acts. We're supposed to have faith because we hear the testimony. We're supposed to have faith because we hear the word and know that word was somebody's testimony. And that testimony is supposed to stir and incubate a faith in our heart. That's the stirring up that was supposed to be happening out of that. But we know that it didn't quite happen that way yet, because see, in this book, see, let's go over to Mark 8. And we see that Mark 8, verse 2, he felt compassion for the multitude again. Another situation. And again, he doesn't want to send them away hungry. And again, he was saying, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. And he multiplies those loaves. And guess what? Everybody gets filled. It's becoming like, you know, just the weekly thing. Everybody shows up at Carlos's house. He has one bowl of chili. And then everybody gets filled. And I'm going to send out a little blast. Email blast is inviting people over for free chili. And we're going to see if everybody gets filled. Hallelujah. But the joy of this is he's still releasing the same thing. He's still releasing. Over in verse 17. And so verse 11. And the Pharisees came out and began to argue with him, seeking a sign from heaven. Okay, calculate this with me. He just fed 4,000 people with 7 loaves of bread, a couple of fishes. We want a sign from heaven. We want a sign from heaven. Hello? What did you just see? But think about it even a little bit more. What's standing in front of them? Jesus, the Christ, the one who is from heaven, the one who is the sign from heaven. Their question, their inquiry was not about, can we get a sign? Their inquiry was simply to give a trap, to can we set a trap for you? And what they were not looking to be convinced so that they could understand. They were looking for a reason so they didn't have to believe. They were saying, what you've done is just, I mean, that was yesterday, I mean, a couple hours ago. What can you do today? Because if you can't do it right now, I don't want to believe. They were looking for a reason to not believe. That was the whole thing of what he was trying to this whole thing, the whole object of this was so that they could have faith, so that they could find what he was really releasing. And sighing deeply in his spirit, he said, why does this generation seek for a sign? Truly, I say, no sign shall be given to this generation. And then he went to the other side. And as they were forgotten to take the bread, went to the other side. And as they had forgotten to take bread and did not have more than one loaf in the boat with them. This is just a little side note. And verse 15, and he was given orders saying to watch out. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they began to discuss with one another the fact that they had no bread. Okay, think about this for a second. We just fed 4,000 people from, a couple of loaves of bread and a couple of pieces of fish. And we're concerned about we don't have bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said, why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? And he begins to say, when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets are full of broken pieces did you pick up? When I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of broken pieces did you pick up? Do you not yet understand? See, this was the place. This was the place for the incubation of faith. It was a moment, should have been a moment where they were experiencing a rise in their faith because they were seeing the miracle and they knew the miracle meant that God was with them. They knew that the miracle was something that God was doing. Now, I want to take it one step further. If you remember what in Genesis 3 and 17, what was the curse that was spoken there? You shall eat the bread by the sweat of your brow. What he was doing when he served the bread was he was showing them, I'm the one who breaks the curse of sin and the curse of death. I'm the one who is the answer to these things, and I'm removing those effects from this earth because I stand above that thing. I stand above it. But you have to open your eyes to see. You have to open your ears to hear. You have to open your heart to receive. Because in that, otherwise we can see, and I can tell you, I have seen miracles with my own eyes, and I've watched other people that saw the same miracle, and they walked away unchanged and unfazed. When we have miracles pouring out here at the altar, when we have miracles pouring out in hospitals, I can tell you there will be some who walk away without being changed. Our heart has to remain open. Our heart has to remain available. Our heart has to be in the word expectation. Because as we stand in expectation, we can stand and receive the benefit of what he's releasing in that moment and in that movement. Hallelujah. That should have set somebody free. See, it's a reset of the fall. Psalm 103, verse 2 says that I will forget none of his benefits. In other words, he's praising the Lord, and he's saying, I will forget none of his benefits. Because if I'm focused on not forgetting any of his benefits, I will never miss the importance of the miracle I just saw. If I'm focused on not forgetting the benefits, I will never miss the point of the testimony that I just heard. When I hear somebody like Cody releasing a testimony and saying that as I began to lay out and have an expectation, God met the expectation. As I begin to hear Carl say, as I came in the door, I had an expectation and God met the expectation. That's what will begin to happen. Because why? Because I'm not forgetting his benefits. The psalmist understood, this is how I stay close to God. This is how I stay close to you, Lord, because I keep looking to you. I keep hearing you. I keep looking to hear what you have to say. I keep desiring to know where you're going to take me. I keep desiring to remember those things that you've already done, so it sets an expectation for where we're going tomorrow. That's what's available to him. It's what's available to us. When he said, watch the beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of Herod. Do you recognize that the Pharisees, they had all this book of testimony set before them. And yet, because that would be unprofitable for them, because it was going to challenge the way that they had their income, the way they had their status within society, it was going to be a challenge to all that. I mean, in other words, they had to put all that aside, and they did not want to. Because why? It profited them to stay, to keep the things going in the way that it's going now. Herod. That was Herod Antipas. And he was the one who basically had his own sister-in-law as a wife. Don't ask me. It's just in the book, okay? I didn't set this up. I'm just reporting the facts. But here's the deal. He was all about entertain me. He kept trying to see the Christ, and eventually he kept looking to see Jesus. He had heard John the Baptist. He kept and was being entertained by John the Baptist until he beheaded him because he got entertained by something else. Well, I don't want to go into that. There might be children in the room. Because there was a change, but see, it was all about him, and he heard and saw. He saw more testimony as an individual than anybody else ever. And still didn't want to be changed. Just hours before the cross, they sent Jesus to him. And all he wanted to do was ask him silly questions to inflate his own ego. This was a man who had it in his power to change a nation and yet changed nothing. That's the leaven that was there. To see all the miracles and to not allow your heart to be changed. To see all the possibility, to have all the strength, to have all the rights, and yet not change anything. Man, when I began to see this, I began to understand this, I just began crying out, Lord, just show me. I make a choice, Lord, just to not let my heart be hardened in any area. I make a choice to hear what you want me to hear, to see what you want me to see, and to hold in my heart what you want me to hold. Because if I'll do those things, now then I can be positioned for things to change. There's a place where God will use that. There's a place where he uses those things as we allow ourselves to sit in with him. I'm going to describe something that I can't totally prove yet in the scripture. But I can tell you that it works. because I've seen the results already. But as you go before him and as you stand before him, I just take a situation, not even the person a lot of times, but the situation, and I just begin to let God wrap around it through me. His love wraps around it. His love wraps around the person. His love wraps around the situation. And as that happens, what I've seen is amazing things be released, because what I thought in that point is, as it is in heaven, Lord, let it be released into the earth. And you become the conduit that it's released through. And you just you just know when it's done, because you have a, you just have that feeling of there was a movement that happened out of his heart and into the earth. I can't totally give you scriptural stuff for that yet. I haven't searched it out, but I can tell you that I've seen the results of it happening even amongst my my family and everything else. Last week my when we got up on Sunday morning, we were convinced, because my dog was not responding in any way. It was like he was paralyzed. I texted LaRue and said, I have to leave early so I can put my doggy down. And so we just prayed, and I loved on him in that way. And I came to service. Came to the first service, and as I was in the first service, the Lord prompted me not to say anything more beyond what I had already said to anybody else. Don't come in agreement with putting your dog down. And so then when I went home, I had to pick him up and carry him into the vet. And as I laid him down on the floor in the vet, even in that moment, he moved his back legs not at all. And his front legs could still move, but he would just lay on his side. And after a few minutes, he began to just turn over and get on his chest. A few more minutes, he began to try to do a little push-up with his hands. It was obviously he was trying to stand up, so I thought I'd give him a little dignity and lift him up and just hold him up. And as I lifted him up and just held him up so he could be upright, then he started out walking. And he walked around until he could get to the other dog on the other side of the chairs and began pestering that dog. So then I had to take him out, and I was like, Kim, we didn't bring a leash. He said, well, he wasn't walking. We didn't need a leash. And so I took him outside, and he did all of his doggy business outside, and we just kept on walking, and we walked for 45 minutes out there. And by the time we took him into the examining office, they were wondering, why is this dog here? And we described all the symptoms, but we didn't have no symptoms left to just show them. So they gave him some injections and sent him on his way. I mean, basically, they just put some sugar water in him and some things like that, I think, is saline. But God cares about what you care about. He's releasing his healing. He's releasing his miracles in every situation. And it wasn't like, you know, I mean, we like it when the miracle happens immediately when we pray. We pray, the dog gets up and runs away. That did not happen that way. But over the next couple of hours, things shifted radically. And today, he's probably trying to break down the door to get into the trash again, because he's right back to where he was. The effect here is to know why a miracle happens. To know and understand when the miracle maker is standing in front of you. The one who is the miracle. To know and understand that he has lordship over nature and the laws of nature. And to recognize that he came to take on for you the effects of the sin at the fall. They came to be the answer. There's a law of first mention, but to recognize that also there's multiple things. When you see something in the Word multiple times, it's really important. If you see it once, it's important. If you see it twice, it's really important. If you see it three times, it's super important. Do you recognize that the multiplication of the fishes and the loaves was not mentioned just once, not just twice, not just three times? It was mentioned in all four Gospels. And by virtue of the fact it was mentioned not in all four Gospels, but also by the 5,000 and the 4,000, it's mentioned a total of six times. He wanted us to understand He is our sufficiency. That He is the one who is there. And then if we'll have a little bit of expectation, we can begin to come into alignment with His ability to be outside the normal, the realm of the normal. But if you don't believe me, go with me to John 6. See, in John 6, we see verse 1 that he's, once again, that's the story of the 5,000. It's John's account of the story of the 5,000. But see, after John's account of the story of the 5,000, Jesus begins to give them a little bit more information. Jesus, verse 26, says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." So in other words, he did some other things besides fill them. Do not work for the food which perishes, but work for the food which endures the eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you. For on him the Father, even God, has set his seal. And they said, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" He said, "This is the works of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." We're back to believe. We're right back to mixing faith with the word. Because as we mix faith with the word, there's a place for results to come forth. Mixing the faith with the word results in something happening and in place that you wouldn't have otherwise expected. Hallelujah. And then they say, "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat." And Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, it's not Moses who's given you the bread out of heaven, but my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven." And verse 35, he says, "I am the bread of life." I am the bread of life. I like to separate it out. I am the bread of life. Because when he says, "I am," they understand that to mean something significant, because that was what Jesus, probably was Jesus, but that's what the Lord told Moses to tell them when they asked, "Well, who gives you this authority?" "I am." They recognized that there was a tie that was being made, and they were talking, and they were asking, and they were telling about, "Moses gave us this bread. What about you?" But see, something they didn't totally recognize yet, or didn't totally see, was that the bread of Moses was given in a place called the wilderness. The bread of Moses would fill their bodies, but the bread that he was not only address their body, but would address their soul and their spirit as well. It was to fill them up, not just for this moment, but for eternity. To shift them out of a place of not having into a place of having. To shift them out of a place of not being in a promise to being in the promise. It was a fulfillment of what was actually spoken of back in the wilderness. The bread of Moses only filled their body. And then eventually their body died. But he said, "I give you the bread It's down in verses, like down by verse 50. I give you the bread that leads to eternal life. There is no end to what I will give to you. There is no end to what I will do for you. There is no end to how I'm going to utilize this. But I want you to understand the significance of this testimony, the significance of this miracle is that I am the bread of life. And as the bread of life, he gets to be that which is the most essential thing. When we make him the most essential thing. The bread in the natural had to be broken. When his body was broken upon that cross, the same effect, the same multiplication was released. Even as the loaves were multiplied because they had first been broken. So his body, when he was on that cross and his body was broken, there was a multiplication now that was released that touches you and me, and it begins to change everything about who we are and what we can do. Because now it makes possible that which was impossible. It imparts into us that something that is supernatural. The same Jesus who was outside of the natural law is also inside of you. That meaning that you now have the ability to be outside the natural law and to be able to do what he could do. That's why he was, that's why it was mentioned all these times. That's why he wants us to see. That's why he wants us to step into the promise. But notice that when Jesus gives the bread, Jesus representing the promised land, how many of them had to go out by the sweat of their brow and gather it up? None. Because it came from the place of grace. The thing that we get to hold on to. The inheritance that we have comes out of the place of grace. It's grace that is there. It's grace that is released. And it's grace as his body is broken and distributed. It's grace that is distributed to each of us. And so that now we too can come and we become that light in the same way that he was. And we're releasing something brand new. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when he's sitting over here, and he says, I'm the bread of life, verse 48, and your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes out of heaven so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. He's the bread of life. Realize he was the bread of life before he made this announcement. When he was born in Bethlehem, you realize Bethlehem actually means house of bread. God had a testimony already lined up. He could have been born somewhere else, but he was born in the house of bread. When they took him back to Nazareth, they put him back in Nazareth because, see, when you're in Nazareth, basically what that means is one who is separated. One who was separated. If we're going to be holy and sanctified, we have to be separated. But there's a point to all this. Is that because, see, he's not talking about cannibalism. He's talking about faith. And this faith is when he becomes part of us, that the blood and the body, we become part of him. That multiplication of love and grace that was in him is now released into you. And because you're now walking as him, it gets to be broken again and released to your neighbor, to someone that you know, someone that you're interfacing with, someone who parked behind your parking spot, someone who was otherwise going to get blasted by the old man because they were sitting on the forklift making noise. But now we can respond in a different way. Amen? Amen. See, the miracles were their testimony. The word is our testimony. The word is nothing but a collection of testimony. Every bit of it, somebody's testimony. The things that they found notable. When we see something that's mentioned this many times, and I actually realize that it wasn't just six times, because the miracle was mentioned six times, but then John here talks about it, making it the seventh time that it's actually mentioned. If something's mentioned that many times, he wants us to get the point of it. And the point of it is this, that these miracles are who we are who and what he is, because he's the bread of life, but it's also what he's releasing to us and through us. That he's not just, that he is the essential thing for life. That we're not limited. We're not limited to what we've seen in the natural. That we have a place where we can come alongside him outside of that which is natural. That we have a place of inheritance that he's already created for us that we can step into because he's supernatural. He's looking and expecting for us to see the power of the testimony and to no longer wonder because why we've already seen the testimony be released. And as we're seeing the testimony be released, to come alongside. See, I have an increased faith because I heard what he said. I have an increased faith because I heard what he said. I have an increased faith because I read and hear what the Lord is saying. That's what he's looking for us to do. Mix it with faith. Mix it with faith. To see the Father's provision and to know. See, they tried to line him up to see this as just, now Moses did better. Moses fed us for 40 years. He wants us to see that that was the bread of the wilderness. It was never the overcoming. He wanted us to see this is the bread of the overcoming. This is what releases into an atmosphere. This is what contributes to us just stepping outside of everything that the enemy has tried to put against us so that we can rise up and be walking in the same lockstep with our Father. Because it's his heart for us to overcome. It's his desire for us to renew and have a place of renewal. It's his desire for us to step into that place of a heavenly rest. Because why? Because we're no longer at odds with our Father. We're now one. Because why? The one who is one is inside now. In the same way that bread became part of them, so our Christ becomes part of us. And when that love is in our heart, it's going to compel us to respond out of love. Hallelujah. Amen.